둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK, WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, of course, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. That way, you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, three a week, just like this, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can, of course, grab us at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review while you're at it as well. We've had some fantastic guests on lately. That includes Reggie Watts, that was just here, Derek Whibley of Sum 41, Juliana Hatfield, Tammy Stronach, you remember her as the childlike empress in The NeverEnding Story. The band Ride, Minnie Driver, she's starring as Queen Elizabeth I in The Serpent Queen on Stars. We looked back at a favorite set of interviews with Chris Cornell of Soundgarden. Victoria Justice was here. Chloe Coleman, Ashton Irwin from 5 Seconds of Summer, Sabrina Carpenter, Fran Healy of Travis, Kylie Cantrell. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today we're talking about the Apple TV Plus series Women in Blue. It's inspired by true events. The Hispanic series follows four women in 1970 who defy the ultra-conservative norms of the time and join Mexico's first female police force, only to discover that their squad is a publicity stunt to distract the media from a brutal serial killer. I'm going to be talking with several of the cast today, the core cast, I should say. Barbara Morai tells us how this story tells a much bigger picture of women fighting against a patriarchal system, what working in the 70s means to their characters' individual obstacles, and what it means to have an all-Hispanic cast and crew making a series for an American audience. Well, then Jimena Serrañana digs into the challenges of portraying someone on the autistic spectrum and, outside of the series, her work on organizing an all-women music festival. From there, Natalia Telles reinforces why it's such an important story of women's history and what it ultimately means in the broader scope of women's rights, while Amarita Rasgado gives her thoughts on the fire that drove the group of women in this series. Let's talk about Women in Blue, out now on Apple TV+. We'll start with part one here with Barbara Morai and Jimena Serrañana.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
What a powerful series that you all are a part of here. Beautifully shot, beautifully acted. I know this is like, it's sort of two things, right? You get to tell the story of the serial killer and the thrill of that story, but it's about so much more than that. These women, not just the four of you, but this the story of what women have had to overcome. I'd love to hear from both of you about why it was important for you to be a part of this story.
Well, first of all, working with Fernando for the first time, it was something that we were we were looking forward to do. So that was the main thing for me to do this. Then when I started hearing the story, what it is about and the importance and the relevance that has in this year, in this time, even though it's a series that is, it takes place in 1971, you know, in 2024, we still have a lot of things to work on in reference with a machista society, you know, that we live in, and all the margination that the woman lived in that time and at this time as well, all the feminicides that takes place in today's in our country. It's crazy. So
definitely, I mean, I do think that there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of, you know, female equality around the world, but especially in Mexico. Mexico, we have a severe violence crisis in terms of, you know, in general in the country, but specifically towards women. And I think that, you know, this series, unfortunately, is going to resonate a lot with current society.
And just seeing, again, how your characters, you know, everybody is up against something, like everybody. And I think you'd mentioned maybe somewhere, like, I think you said, like, this was a big challenge for you finding this character. Is that right? And if so, why?
It was very challenging because, first of all, I come from a music background, so I'm primarily a musician, and this was to me, you know, a huge acting, you know, obstacle that I needed to overcome, and I needed to, you know, I was really worried that I was going to do a good job, especially because of Angeles's character. You know, she is in the autism spectrum, and I just was very concerned that I wouldn't portray somebody in the specter, and that, you know, would come across as truthful. So I prepared a lot for the character with a lot of help from Fernando, obviously, from an acting coach, and from, you know, a lot of people that we managed to interview, and, you know, and we worked closely with an organization that works with people in the autism specter. So that was just great for me. You know, I felt, you know, very, very supported throughout, and I'm very proud of the work that we achieved.
I do love that she even still has a little bit of a Velma Scooby-Doo quality to her, just a little bit.
100% Velma. That way.
Barbara, you have to bridge these generations. Like, your character finds herself in this spot where, you know, she's still very much tied, you know, to an earlier generation while pushing forward. What was it like for you to kind of embody someone like that?
It was something very special because I was most of my life in the past trying to belong in some place in the society, to be someone. And I think Maria, it's there, you know, all the time. It grew up there, and he grew up believing that she has to be this perfect wife and she has to be this. You know, the society tells her that you can just be limited by this and you cannot be anything more. And when she joins the police force, she discovers her true potential. She discovers that she had a dream that she wanted to make it true, you know, and she discovered the strong and determination of women when they come together with the same desire of help others and solve crimes and investigate cases and be useful for not just the police, for the community and the society. So discovering this with the character, it's amazing. Yeah.
I love the small details too. At one point, you're reading Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. Like, I'm sure that was purposeful.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Just those little details in there. And again, it's beautifully shot the way it is. For both of you all, with it being in the 70s, does that change like directly how you approach the job?
I mean, for sure. I think in terms of speaking specifically about Angeles, I mean, right now there's a lot more information as to what it means to be in the autism spectrum. Back in the 70s, that just it was a diagnosis that didn't exist. It was mostly called other things, and the treatment was just something that people were terribly scared of because, you know, it was basically the same as being, you know, in a mental institution. So obviously, you have to know that in order to build this character, because, you know, part of Angeles's journey is sort of understanding that maybe the way that she understands her surroundings and the world isn't, it's a little bit off as to what other people, how other people, you know, interact with their surroundings. So it was, you know, it was interesting to sort of have this mystery. It's a mystery that and Angeles loves to solve mysteries. So I definitely think that that's something that I had to keep in mind when I was building this character.
Barbara, I mean, I don't know if you can speak to it, but if I read it right, an entirely Hispanic cast and crew, somewhat set for an American television streamer. I mean, what does that mean for you? I mean, I assume that's got to mean a little something special.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us to work with people who is not just from here, from Mexico. You know, you get to learn from other cultures as well, and to you know, for Apple to put us all together and make this big and this beautifully, you know, you can see the aesthetics and you know the dress and everything is so beautiful that is. I don't know. It's very inspiring for us.
Yeah, and to be able to show a little bit of what of the history of, you know, Mexico City and our culture and our country, and to know that people from all over the world are going to be able to see that and to identify with these four women is just, you know, an incredible feeling.
And I mean, I want to also say that, we're big fans of your music over here as well at WFPK. And I saw you're taking this a little bit further too. I mean, All Women Music Festival, like top to
Yes.
bottom, right?
Yes, correct. I'm very excited with that project. It's a huge step for us in Mexico, in terms of, you know, female equality and representation in music festivals all around the world. And I really do think that it's such a special event, not only for the industry in Mexico, but also for women in the industry worldwide. I mean, there's just so much, everybody is so excited. I mean, all the acts are coming from all over the world to perform. I mean, we have huge names, Garbage, Evanescence, we have Camila Cabello, Demi Lovato, and everyone is just really so excited to be in an all-female festival. It's just really, really amazing.
I love that. Congrats again on this series. It's been so much fun to watch you all, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Barbara Mori and Jimena Serrañana, part of the cast for Women in Blue, out now on Apple TV Plus. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with the cast of Women in Blue, out now on Apple TV Plus. Now we catch up with Amarita Rasgado and Natalia Telles.
Muy bien, hola.
What a beautiful, thrilling, and important story that this series is. I'm going to throw this question to both of you all. I would love to hear why you wanted to be a part of it. Amarita, if you want to start.
Porque nadie, yo nunca hubiera dicho no a un
I
proyecto
would
tan
have never
importante
said no to such an
para mí
important
como mujer, como
project. For me,
actriz,
as a woman, as
es
an
una historia que
actress,
habla de
this
mujeres
is a story talking about women. Women
a
who
pesar de
discover,
todas las
despite
similitudes,
all
un
any
camino
type
que
of
me hizo
situations,
avanzar
they found
como
this
mujeres
pathway
y
as
impulsaron
women. And
a todas
they
nosotras que está contando la historia
encouraged
de estas
us,
mujeres
because
azules
today we are
de los 70s
talking, we
en
are
la Ciudad de
telling
México.
this story
Yo
from
creo
the
que
70s in Mexico
eso
City,
es
and they were like
muy
the
importante,
pillars.
algo
And this is
necesario para
paramount, this
que
is necessary for
podamos
our
yo poder
souls.
ver terminado
And
un proyecto
for me, looking
que
at
me
this
resonaba todos los
project
días, estaba muy
that has
contenta, dormía
finished,
soñando con
I
eso.
woke up
O sea,
thinking of it, went to bed thinking of it, and the strength you need to, talking about a serial killer, and how these women, additionally, they were working and they were like hidden because they had all odds against them. They came up against everything. They grabbed their hands and they said, move away, we are here. In my case, beyond saying yes, for me it was like a dream, being capable of telling a story from Mexico, the story of the struggle of women in Mexico, and how they ended up having these jobs and gotten some empowerment and some agency in their lives and structures. So I didn't want to act anymore. I conduct programs because I lost faith. I'm a new mother, and I said everything is crapped. And when Fernando arrived and showed me the story, and he was so passionate, telling us what was good in the world, telling us what happened, and that these were fearful women, I said, I want to be Valentina. I want to continue being fearful, and I want to change the world. I don't know if it's through stories, through a project, or thousands of projects, but never, never get this flame out.
Natalia, I like hearing about that. How much do you think about your character's backstory? Because she seems like she's coming from the point of view of the revolutionary 60s. Like, where does she get her fire from?
Yo creo que hay almas.
I think that there are souls that were born to make a revolution. And these are interesting souls. They can tell a story. I was raised by two romantic artists. One was a philosopher and a painter, and they thought they could change the world individually. And Valentina had this in her veins. So when I was reading the script, I was thinking of my father in the demonstrations in Mexico, and my mother attending a public university and their family against it, and they were creating this utopic family full of freedom and love. They too raised me, and then they gave birth to Valentina instead of myself. And yes, this is what Valentina has within. She has the idea that she can change the world and she should go against. Because if you go with a crowd, perhaps it's not necessarily the right choice.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Talking with the cast of Women in Blue.
And Marina, for you, your character, she's a cop family. It seems like it would be natural, but of course she has that against her when it should be for her. Why do you think she stuck with it?
Pues porque es desde que tiene uso de razón eso aprendió, ¿no?
Since she was a baby, that was common in her house. That was her language. She didn't have any other choice. She was determined to be a cop. I remember a scene. Leo Sbaraglia was with her friends, and they say, oh, Maria, since she was a girl, she was reading these crime novels. But it was like this fabric that is weaved amongst the four azules. They are together. Gabina learned this language. She knows about weapons. She can hide herself. She can run. She knows police tactics. She has like the teaching. But there are many other things that she discovered that were not taught at home. And she said, I want more. This is my life. I want to be a cop. So her strength, her power, is the flame that allowed her to continue with this tissue weaved with the other azules. Like they found the safe pathway and start a difficult journey altogether.
Did it being set in the 70s affects how either of you approached it? Does that change the way you would do the job?
Sí, de entrada yo creo que
sure.
La rebeldía actualmente se ve
The
situation we live today is completely different than in the 70s. My character was a rebel back then, but it was, but like she didn't have enough freedom to express this rebellion within. I said, Valentina today would be like a common conventional girl today, 2024, but back then in the 70s, she had to pave the way for us today. So this is like the plus she has, this fierceness she's having, she was having back then, was something helpful for us today. And they were challenging, the four of them, they were challenging back then. Imagine challenging
contexto del machismo,
the
de los
whole
hombres,
macho context, the male context, this chain that is guiding you, pulling you, the follow this pathway, not the other. So the pride these four women have to move differently. And today, in these times, you have the capability to do whatever you feel like. But we are still guided. Your parents can tell you, no, not that. So these four women, their lives, the story is like the subject matter in their lives.
Again, I so enjoyed what you all did. Congratulations on this. And it's been such a pleasure to talk to you both. Thank you so much.
Muchas gracias. Gracias.
Amarita Rosgado and Natalia Telez there, part of the cast of Women of Blue. Again, out now on Apple TV+. Thanks to everyone for dropping by today. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, please do hit that subscribe button again so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week, three a week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured some classics and favorites from J.J. Cale, ZZ Top, David Bowie, Luna, Cracker, Bruce Springsteen, Always, Sasami, Salt, The Smashing Pumpkins, Radiohead, Shuggie Otis, Nilufer Yanya, Yana Mila, Juliana Hatfield, Adele, and my interview with legendary actor Jeff Daniels. Again, just an example of what you can hear every weeknight when you tune in, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.